Hey y'all, welcome to For the Fans, where tonight we are going to talk about the latest episode of Survivor 42, where we got to see Goliath defeat some Davids and Tori weasel her way out of another vote off. So, Kevin, Sheldon, how are y'all doing today?
What's up?
Hello.
I am great. I'm decided that I'm going to tell Sheldon what to do, like Roxroy, while he does all the things already. So
if
he's already doing it, I'm going to say, Sheldon, adjust your mic. Make sure that you can hear you. Scratch your head. Make sure you get that nice scratch.
Cup. With your other hand. Harder.
I'm going to do just like Roxroy.
We have to talk about Roxroy because that is a man.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it real quick, I'm sure.
That is a man. I don't know what that is.
He is a man. He is a person.
I don't know what it is.
And he is doing something. Okay. But this was another, you know, we're not right yet. We're not just seeing just magnificent strategy playing out here. We're seeing a lot of examples of how not to play Survivor well. So it's okay. You know, it takes all kinds to make the Survivor world go round. We can't all be studs.
I'm surprised because you haven't had Survivor in many years at this point, right? It's been a couple years since you played Survivor at this point, but you have like an idea of what the strategy is going to look like as the players. So and we have the a high amount of super fans out there, and the strategy has been pretty mid. You know what I'm saying? It has not been good. It's been meh at best.
By the people that are being voted off, it's bad. But there are some people playing well that haven't been voted off yet. So
true.
I got my fingers crossed.
Do you think that, like, I don't know. I'm seeing, you know, I know with my students, the pandemic has really hurt their performance and their performance when they graduate and getting jobs. Maybe is this an after effect of crazy pandemic life that we're all sort of feeling this after? And like, even when you have the dream of your lifetime to go out and play Survivor, you F up? Like, is that what we're seeing? Is this the aftermath of COVID?
What if we're not really seeing bad strategy? And what I mean by that is, what if we're actually seeing it, right? Normally, like, they as we see later on the episode, they have a editing method where a person said something to someone, and then we saw it happen. Whereas I'm sure in 20 plus years, this has happened before, right?
Yeah, so maybe the editing's getting better at crapping on people.
yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what if the strategy is about the same as it's always been, but we're just seeing more of it and seeing more missteps?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that some of it you have to compare it to last season where, you know, you saw Shannon Ricard in the pre-merge put on a clinic for how to play Survivor. Yep. You know, those two were playing on this level. And,
The Genies and the Brads and the...
Right, exactly. JDs.
And the what's-her-face that went home first.
Yeah.
Like, you had them there, too, not doing nearly as well. And I'm sure... And we have those. We have a high. You know what I'm saying? We have a high. So
we have a high, okay? And Romeo.
We have some good strategists, right?
Yes.
That are out there, but we're not just necessarily they're
well,
not.
We
the
just
ones
may not be to that point yet. Where we really get to see their strategy unfold. So I'm going to reserve, you know, all of my shitting on these people for the full season to play out. I'm enjoying it. It's just not very good gameplay at this point.
Sheldon's not enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm bored, honestly. I'm finding it very difficult to actually connect with the cast. I don't feel like I am rooting for anybody at all. And outside of really Chanel, because I know her in org life. So I'm rooting for her no matter what she does on screen, or good or bad, even though I'm happy to critique it here. But is there somebody that I'm sitting here thinking, wow, I really want him or her to win? No, I don't care. I've got very limited interest. I'm not seeing amazing gameplay that I could say, okay, well, this is a really smart person doing some crazy stuff. I see a lot of missteps. Like, I'm just kind of...
underwhelmed.
I'm underwhelmed. And the other piece is, and I might have said this last time, like, I kind of feel like, again, I'm in the middle. I just came off watching the second last season of Australian Survivor. And I feel like in that show, I watched, you know, crazy all-stars playing consistently big moves, big strategy, big things, physically big, doing well in challenges. And I feel like I'm watching a dodgeball team. Like I don't know what I'm watching.
You are correct. I had not considered that outside of there's no one that I'm like outside of Marianne, right? Outside of Marianne, I like Marianne a lot. But other than Marianne, there's no one that I'm watching.
You like Marianne, I assume, because she's probably one of the nicest human beings you've ever seen on television.
She's super nice. Yeah, me and Kylie about to get into it.
You don't like
again.
Her because you think she has any chance of winning.
No, I don't. And that's what I said. You're I'm agreeing with you. I don't. There's no one that I'm like, let's go. Like, because Shan, I was a big Shan fan.
Yeah,
I was a big Deshaun fan last season, right? I was rooting from them from the jump because I liked what they were doing on screen. But now that you mention it, there is no one that I've been rooting for, and there hasn't been anyone from the beginning. Like, there was no one. Marianne pops on screen, absolutely, right? But like you said, there's no way she's going to win this game, I don't think.
Yeah.
But there's no one that I'm like, this person right here, even Chanel. I don't have that connection to Chanel as a lot of the Aura community does, right? So for me, I'm like, Chanel's another player. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I agree with you there. And I mean, I think that initially I was, you know, on paper and reading, you know, bios and listening to preseason stuff, I was drawn to High, and I have been impressed with High so far.
Yes.
So I'm liking that. I feel strongly about High as my winner pick. But
it's still not that strong. On a scale of like 1 to 10, I'm at like a 7.
Right.
Where is Rob Mariano? Where is Johnny Fairplay? Where is Tim Spradlin?
The person to me that is popping and that surprises me is Jonathan. Yeah. And that's probably who I want to hitch my wagon to. I'm enjoying him. I mean, he does have strategy. He's just incredible to watch. We're going to dig into that tonight. So, you know, maybe I'm finding myself rooting for a Jonathan. That's probably at this point who I want to see win. Just
they might have like a really new strategy in the editing booth, just like they did in season 40, with basically keeping Erica really quiet and low until midway and then saying, let's go. So it might be this new strategy that you let the light on other people, so you misplay the audience.
Yeah.
And we might just not have seen the winner yet. We might
Which is not a terrible idea.
Like, I don't know if it is. I don't think it is a good idea, though, Kevin, because I'm getting disinterested. I'm a fan, and I'm not going to stop watching. I don't know. An average Survivor fan who doesn't watch podcasts and do all the stuff that we do, like, listen to podcasts, not watch. Like, they're turning off the TV, I assume. I don't know what the ratings are. We could easily check that out. But
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. So
I mean, but Survivor's like pizza, man. Like, even bad pizza is still pizza. It's good.
I don't know. If I've got a few seasons of bad pizza, I'm turning it off. Like,
but are you going to get a full few in 20 years, Sheldon? Are you going to get a few seasons of bad pizza? I mean, we were there during the doldrums of the Nicaraguas and the Redemption Islands.
But I think this is. I think this feels tonally like a very different Survivor show than what we're used to the last two seasons.
Well, it's the new era.
And it is the new era. And so far, I don't see villains. I don't see cutthroat play. I don't see scheming. I don't see winning at all costs. Like, I don't see will to win. Like, does anybody actually want to win there?
I think we do have some villains. Kind of, let's get into it, because I have a villain off the bat. I have a villain in this first part.
Let's
just
jump in. So we are coming back to the Vati Beach. We get to see the fallout from this tribal council where, as High says, Daniel has no backbone and he completely folds. And Daniel has an interesting approach. He says, hey, guys, we're not going to talk about it tonight. I'm going to go sleep and we can talk about it tomorrow.
Villain.
And yeah, Chanel's like, I got a different approach. Let's
Daniel is smarmy. He is slimy. He comes back and says, you know, it took a lot out of me, guys. I know you guys would want to talk about it right now because it just happened, but I'm not going to get into it tonight. I trusted Chanel, and Chanel let me down. And, you know, I just don't even want to get into it tonight. I was like, bro, this dude is terrible. Terrible.
Well, my guts actually said when I saw that two things. A, he was actually tired. Like, I really buy that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Took a lot out of him, and he needed a break. Horrible move if you're playing Survivor, because the game never stops and you better be playing, especially after you did that in Tribal Council. Number two, he goes back to who he is. He is a lawyer. Lawyers don't walk into the courtroom. What lawyers don't walk into the meetings unprepared. I assume his thought was, I need to sit down and I have to think through this by myself so that tomorrow morning I know exactly what I need to do. That's not how Survivor is played, sadly.
Right. And it comes across very calculated. As opposed to having like an honest, open conversation, you know, Chanel just immediately jumps into it. And if I'm with someone and they say, hey, I need to take some time to process it, I'm not thinking that you're taking time to process it. I'm thinking that you're taking time to scheme.
To come up with a lie.
Yeah, you're trying to cover your ass. So, no, let's go right now. And Daniel, once again, as a super fan, terribly misplays this and just does it pretty much all wrong.
But he told us, by the way, don't forget, he told us there's no chance.
Yeah, he did. Win.
Like, and usually when people say that, that means that they're going to be scheming and sinister and evil. They're going to, no, he told us the truth. Like, we should have believed when he said that he's not going to win.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He told us.
I didn't expect it because he was smarmy, you know what I'm saying? I didn't think it was because he was going to be slow. I have no idea why he thought this was going to be a successful conversation. And then as he's sitting there, and Mike goes in on him, because even though he said, guys, I don't want to talk about it now, everyone else was like, well, we are though. So we're going to go ahead and get into it right now. And Mike is like, I can't believe you told Chanel about my stuff. I thought we were working together. And his answer to Mike is, hey, Chanel was my number one. He's like, I thought I was your number one.
Yeah, but no, but she was really my number one. Yeah,
but you weren't, though. She was really my number one, and I just couldn't believe I trusted her. And he's looking for sympathy from Mike after he just shitted on Chanel and also told Mike that everything you told me, I've been telling Chanel.
And I have lied to you lots in this game.
And that was also great, because Mike's like, you've lied to me consistently. He's like, I have not. And he said, you told me I was your number one. Okay, well, maybe then.
You're not.
And then what about when you said no one else knew about the thing? Okay, maybe I have lied to you a bunch.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, Daniel, this is what you need to say to Mike, is you need to say, you know what, Mike? I messed up. I thought that Chanel was someone that I could work with and trust, and she came to me with a transparency of, hey, I know this information and you need to know it going into this tribal council, so that I was aware of all of the working pieces as we're going into this. And she did not tell me that she lost her vote. So she told me, wait, hold on. I got this backwards. He has the information. I'm telling Chanel so that we're all on the same page, because Chanel needs to know how this vote is going to go down. And she needs to know that you didn't have a vote, but she was not transparent with me. She did not tell me that she lost her vote. And so I am sorry that I revealed some of your information. I was trying to make us a cohesive unit, and Chanel effed it up. But that's not what he does. I lied to you.
Well, and Chanel, and he actually says it, though, in his confessional, how is Chanel getting through this scot-free? Well, because you have to reflect on how you are coming across to people, your answers, your tone, your everything, even the way you acted in the actual tribal council. Like there is a severe lack of self-awareness that is absolutely killing the man. Whereas, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Chanel actually ending up working with High at some point.
Yeah.
Because at least Chanel could go in and have that conversation. At least High could say, you know what, this guy, you know, I can't trust him to do anything right if this is the way he's going to act. Chanel at least is level-headed, thoughtful, smart. She screwed up this one vote, but let's see if we could do something going on further.
Right. And in Chanel addition, basically, like,
well, said in addition, piece,
and I'm just
Chanel
gonna be quiet and let Daniel sees right. himself.
Janelle says, I didn't even have a vote. Like, how could this be on me? I didn't even have a vote tonight. I didn't vote. Daniel voted, and he wrote down the name. I didn't vote anyone. So right. for you to come back, Daniel, for you to at Tribal to try to pin it on me and then to come back and then call me a snake and a weasel when you're the one that did it, it's ridiculous. And as we talked about last week, the moment Daniel says, I'm not going to Rocks, lost all leverage. All leverage gone. And all trust is also gone because now you got to go back with Mike and Chanel. And it's like, I thought we were going to like take this down to the end.
Yeah. And
you rolled over and just gave it up.
Right. And we see Hi, though, once again, so proud of my little winner pick here. He sits down, he has a conversation with Mike. He has just voted against this group and he's, you know, basically strong armed them into giving up their number, possibly Mike's number one. And he's like, hey, you know, these are the reasons why I voted how I did. I hope you understand that. Daniel told me to write your name down. But once I got in there, I didn't feel that it was right. So I wrote down Jenny. And let's squash this. Let's work together. And out of the ashes, he has arisen. You know what I mean? And he's now put himself from the very bottom of this tribe to possibly, you know, like losing his one ally to, hey, I kept my ally. Like Lydia owes me her life in this game. And now I'm able to scoop up Mike and possibly Chanel. And so he's gone from the bottom to the top.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yep.
So, all right. Let's get into the reward challenge. We don't have to talk too much about this. Let's just talk about once again.
What do you mean we need to talk about this? Our Jonathan went out there and
did the damn everyone. Thing.
Smoked them all.
But it felt to me, maybe I should have had a second watch through, but it felt to me that he was leading the team, but they were all with him. Like they were so in unison going through that braided rope thing. Like, well, they were working
together. This isn't a physical thing.
No.
Jonathan's, his strength does not, you know, propel them through this challenge. It is his leadership skills. And so he's going beyond just being a physical threat, but, you know, he has this presence about him that is very calming. And he is just over under. He doesn't yell. You know, he's such a big guy and you would think that he would come across so forcefully, but he doesn't.
He's a big guy. He's a Goliath.
Yeah, he is literally a Goliath. Yeah. And so
he said something in a confessional later on, and I might be skipping ahead a bit, about him being somebody who is in service of people. I actually, like, I felt that was not a strategic thing that he said. I think that's how he lives his life. Like,
personality trait.
I think he knows that he's extremely strong. He's probably quite compassionate. He's very likable. And that's just how he lives his life. He goes around and he says, you know what? I got all of these great things. How do I give it to the world? Like, there's almost this religious, spiritual thing.
Well, that's exactly it. And we do know that, you know, Jonathan talks about it in the episode with Omer when he's sharing about being Muslim that, hey, you know, I'm a Christian if you have any questions. And I think that Jonathan is a very good representation of being a Christian. And he is like, you know, as you said, you know, he is in service to others. He wants to help others. And, you know, that is probably just comes back to his faith and that. And I think that he portrays that.
And that's his leadership in that challenge. He's he's not just there winning for himself. I truly think he's there winning for the team. So when he does go on in a very silly way and say, we are a very strong four, that's because he really believes that he's a strong four and those people he wants to work with and be together.
Well,
silly thing to say out loud. Silly thing to say in front of everybody.
He recognized that afterwards.
But I mean, is it because they ask that kind of question? Jeff asks that question all the time. You know, oh well, you know, what about this tribe? You know, like what makes y'all so great? And they all say that, like, oh well, we're a family. It's going to be so hard to vote somebody off. They're all saying that stuff.
No,
so
Kylie, listen.
Stop it, Kylie. Listen here. Let me tell you something.
Kids, chill. Jonathan will be fine.
Jonathan basically said, of course I'm not perfect. There's a crack in my ass, okay? You cannot be 100% all of the time. And, you know, they have to show a little bit of flaw in his game.
Listen, Kylie, this is exactly what happened, right? So, first off, they boat race the other team. High looks over.
We're not getting to the boat race. We're still in the braiding challenge.
When you boat race someone, it means you've beaten them beyond. There's no way they can catch you. You led from bell to bell. So they led from bell to bell. They boat raced them. They were not close. After that was done, High's like, we're still in the first part of the challenge. And it's because of they sunk those baskets. As Jeff was saying, they're at the last basket. Oh, it's in. Lizzie wins the challenge.
And all four of them, like, I think in one or two throws each, it was a show.
Yes. Yeah. And Jeff's like, it's as if they've been practicing on their own beach. So as soon as that's done, they then talked to Jonathan, and Jonathan, like you said, mentions how cohesive of a unit it was. Grave mistake, because though they are, and Marianne, my girl Marianne, says it right after, he was telling the truth, but you don't say that out loud. And Jonathan says, I messed up. I shouldn't have said that out loud. We are a cohesive.
They have to show, I mean, they can't make him completely flawless.
I'm sure though people don't.
So they have to show a little bit of bad something.
The thing is though, people don't say that all the time because he's just such a genuine dude that he just can help himself. A lot of times, I mean, if you ask Omer the same question, Omer's going to be like, we just work really well together, you know, out here, Jeff. Same thing with Marianne.
He said we're a strong four.
Think that this is anything terrible that he has said. And I guess time will tell if it comes back and bites him in the ass. But I'd say it's not going to. So anyways, Taku wins. They get their ten large fish. And these are huge. And I mean,
question. Is there any way that you could like smoke it so it lasts for weeks?
Well, I mean, Marianne said smoke it, grill it, boil it. Stew it.
Is there something you can do? Well, how can you make those fish last a long time? Because they can't eat 10 fish in one day after not eating anything for however long they've been there for.
But like, the fish will keep for like another day or two, no?
I don't know. I don't eat fish, period. I'm damn sure not eating some old ass fish.
You don't eat fish?
Listen, no.
Fish is delicious. First and foremost.
And it was so colorful fish. It's
yeah.
It's called the alphabet soup of fish.
Not even does Jonathan just, you know, dominate and, you know, everything in the challenges. But then also Lindsay's like, oh my gosh, is that mahi mahi? He's like, no, that's the Alaskan rainbow fish. Like, what? I mean, yes. Of course he knows what the damn fish is.
Well,
so,
he's like Ozzy.
He lives in the ocean. Steroids. He is like Aquaman for real.
Ozzy on steroids. And so the fact that they got these ginormous fishes, moderate fishes, Jeff said, but they were huge. And it was enough to feed them for a day and a half, 2 days.
A lot more than that.
But I mean, it's a huge advantage for them in a tribe that honestly just doesn't need an advantage.
Well, in a season that has no food.
Right.
In a season with no food.
So, let's see. Let's get back to it. We do get Jonathan's story, and he talks about, you know, growing up, my dad had me lifting weights at age 3, and he was always pushing me. And, you know, like, I'm surprised that his growth wasn't stunted. 10 out of 10 don't recommend having your 3-year-old lift weights. But, you know, it worked for him.
He had him doing chin-ups, didn't he?
Chin-ups and racing. And if you lose against your brother, then you're going to run 3 more times. And
that's
so
me, actually, that made me feel a little like off. Like that sounded like if my father would have done that to me, is that not child abuse? I don't know.
No, that's not child abuse. he is a physical specimen. And so good for Jonathan. And it just makes you,
I don't know.
It is easy to root for him. And typically when you do see someone like of his stature and prowess, you don't necessarily think, oh, hey,
I'm not really rooting
this
for
is
him,
a
though.
Really good guy.
Why not?
I'm not.
Well,
you I'm not really rooting for him because let me tell you why. I am not a big fan. I'm, I, Sheldon, you and I both were strategists, right? I root for strategy. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't feel like Jonathan actually has any strategy. He has a lot of the physical, excuse me?
Two things. One, am I not strategic?
Hey, Kylie too. But we know that Kylie is a sucker for a pretty face, right? We already know that. And so we know that Kylie's a sucker for a pretty face. But I'm not seeing any strategy from him.
But we do. We do see his strategy. His strategy is to play up like, I am y'all's protector. I am y'all's provider.
But I don't need that.
Have Omer, and Omer is going to be my brain.
From the individual face.
Yeah, but hold on. Like, we have also not really had a chance to see him work. We had our first person that left the Taku tribe, which was Jackson. Not of his doing. The second one was Mariah. It was very clear she just wasn't a fit in the tribe. There wasn't a need for real strategy. And really, like, the strategy to me seems to be Jonathan's creating strong relationships. Jonathan's making it clear that he's the meat shield. Jonathan's creating these bonds with Omar really tight that could actually get them quite far. I don't disagree with you, Kevin. Like, he's doing something. He's doing what he can based on the
right game. As we've said multiple times, he cannot hide his correct. Physical.
He's
appearance.
A Goliath. But here's the thing though, right? He is not only winning these challenges, he's crushing them. And that's something that they need. I'm not saying that they don't. That's something that they need. But me as a strategist, the moment we get to merge and he loses, he has to go.
Like, but we have no choice. I mean, you have other components once you get to the individual portion.
Most of these have
puzzles. And Jonathan, the man that counted 11 triangles, probably isn't going to be able to complete a slide puzzle like Christian Hubicki.
There's not a million puzzles in the individual portion of the game.
There are a lot of puzzles. There's a lot of body weight challenges, and you know, he's going to
the fact that he could do chin-ups means that he can manipulate his own body weight.
Okay, but is he going to be able to hold his body up on, you know, a little bitty ledge when he has a size 15 foot and you've got High over here who is, you know, 145 pounds and he's lean and he's, you know, strong, but he's smaller. I just don't think that it's a give me that he wins every single immunity challenge at Merge.
Well, I also think that, look, when you play a game in the individual rounds, especially the way these players seem to be playing, I think, especially the Taku tribe, they're going to rely on staying together as long as they can and as strong as they can. And so whether Jonathan wins or not, Omar's not going to get rid of Jonathan. Why? Because I think in Omar's mind, because Omar is the more deeper, more obvious strategist, he might think that he can actually beat Jonathan if he's sitting there at the end, no matter how many immunity wins he has.
I would be even less confident that I could beat him because he's such also a genuinely good guy, right? Yeah. That's another thing that would concern me.
But so is about... Omar. So is Omar.
But he has been a physical specimen, and he's a kind dude, and he has been like you were saying, Sheldon, a minute ago, he has made it very clear that he's of service to others, which is a fantastic attribute as a person.
The alternative way to look at it is, let's say you're in an alliance of four. Let's say these four stay strong. He becomes, the second he loses, if they need to give somebody up, he's a very easy sacrifice to keep three strong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So from a strategy, like, every alliance has a bottom. Every alliance has a bottom. And, you know, having him go to the jury and vote for you to win might not be the worst thing for Omar. Might not be the worst thing for Marianne, for Lindsay.
Yeah.
Like, you need people like that in the audience, in your alliance as well.
I don't think there's any way he goes home during the try portion of the game. I want to make sure that's clear. Obviously. I don't think there's literally no way. No way whatsoever. Like, and I, if I'm Marianne or Lindsay, and we were to lose a challenge randomly, I'd be like, I think I think I gotta go, guys. I think I gotta go tonight because y'all gotta keep eating. And Jonathan.
Well, but I mean, we're also getting to the point of you can look at it, and if Taku were to lose, say the next immunity challenge, we're getting pretty damn close to a merge. You know what I mean? And like, hey guys, like, do we just want to roll the dice? Because these other tribes aren't that great. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we lose Jonathan, who puts us heads and tails above everybody else, but we lose him maybe for one more challenge. Let's roll the dice and let's do this. Just saying, it's a possibility.
Well, once again, though, we got some good pub for Marianne here, Kylie. As you see, they're a collective unit. Omar and Marianne are discussing how Jonathan made them angry in this thing because Marianne is endearing and everyone likes her. Thanks a lot, Kylie. Like I've been trying to tell you for 4 weeks now.
Can I say something?
I'm sorry. Marianne? What did you say?
What, Sheldon?
I am not as big of a fan as everybody seems to be of Marianne. I kind of find her a little predictable, a little boring. I don't know. She's
not
sweet.
Boring.
She's sweet, not... but I don't need to see sweet people. I could just look at my mother for that. I don't.
That's no. That's not what we've been arguing about, though. For the last 4 weeks, Kylie's like Marianne's exuberance is going to end up just be annoying to everyone. I've been trying to let her know. The people on the island are not.
The three people in her very tight Taku family are not annoyed.
Well, right, and you know what? That's right. But then you get that other tribe that ended up, not to fast forward, that ended up in tribal council who can't stand each other and are really annoyed.
Before we get to them,
I don't think they'll like having her around in the merged tribe either.
Right.
Well, they're just cantankerous people. Let's get to them. Let's talk about
this. So let's go. Let's go to the Ika Beach. And immediately we get Romeo just annoyed AF with our boy Rox. Because as you alluded to at the beginning, Kevin, he is a know-it-all. He knows how to make fire. He knows how to tie bamboo. He knows how to make people eat, how to make people fish, when to do things. And he is on their damn nerves.
He doesn't know how to win Survivor. I'll tell you that.
No, he doesn't. How great was it when Romeo was like, cue Rox and Romeo montage here.
Then... really good confessional. And they do. They oblige.
Yes. That was so great. Rox Roy, my guy. What? Just let the people be. Your social game isn't working here.
You can't do that.
You gotta just let them do the things.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Like, Drea's intentionally trying to keep you out of votes. She's not telling you about the stuff because they just don't, they just are not fans of what's going on with you right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're bossing everyone around. You're telling Romeo what to do. You're telling Swathi what to do. You're like, cut it out. Just be on the beach. Just chill.
Yeah. You're off daddy duty for 6 weeks here, bud.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop.
He can't. That's who he is. He can't. He needs to be there and be everybody's daddy because that's what he does.
Like, as Don says, he's not leading, he's micromanaging. And nobody wants to be micromanaged. Nope. So we also get Swathi talking with Tori, and she's like, we really got to go for Drea. And Tori's like, oh, are you sure? Like, I kind of wanted to work with Drea. And Swathi's like, yes, we do. And she's like, well, we got to have another person. And Swathi's like, you could talk to Rox Roy. Tori's like, I don't really like Rox Roy. And I don't think Rox Roy really likes me.
So that was another thing that was great is that as they're discussing what to do later on, the fact that she's like, I know we need numbers, but does it have to be Rox? That was it.
And this goes on the bottom. And
she has no options. And she's like,
no options. And she does not want to work with Rox Roy.
I don't want that one, though. I don't want that one.
I would rather just leave.
That was crazy.
Well, that's not good. Isn't that just a testament of how important social game is within Survivor? Like what she's basically saying is, I don't want that number. I don't want to work with this person because I will get annoyed with this person. I won't be able to brainstorm with this person. I won't be able to trust this person. That's what she was actually saying. I think in Survivor and all of these games, you use people, you bring the person in for a vote, but that's a short-term sort of a thing. You know, what she's actually asking her to do is, well, why don't we have a three and hopefully set herself up for later, which I think is what Swathi was was trying to actually do by getting rid of Drea. But you can't do that. If you don't trust the person, you can't look at them. You can't work with them. It's impossible.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And also in this conversation, Swathi spills the beans to Tori of, hey, me, Romeo, Rox, Drea, we were going to vote you out. Like, we were a four. You were on the outs. And Tori's like, oh, wow, okay. Well, that doesn't make me feel very good. And so Tori takes Swathi's advice, and she goes for a little walk with Rox Roy, strokes the ego. Rox, I'm so glad you're on our tribe. Like, what would we even do without you? And Rox is like, well, you know, either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it.
And I thought that was clever. I thought that was clever by her to try to, like,
yeah,
play into the obvious thing is how Rox is.
Yeah, you know? Thanks for being our provider. And
but you know.
And Rox brings up the strategy of, hey, do you think there's any chance Drea might have gotten some type of idol or advantage on that journey? And Tori's like, well, I got a little bit of info here for you. Did you know that that Drea has an extra vote? And Roxbury's like, what? No. And I genuinely don't think he knows this. So he's the only one. Somehow he's been left in the dark. And so you're okay, Tori, you're making some progress. Rox Roy immediately gets back to the beach and is like, hey, Drea, Tori just told me you have an extra vote. So any bit of progress you think Tori's made, it's like, okay, no, that's out the window. And absolutely solidifies she is right. You cannot work with Rox Roy. Correct. Tori and Rox Roy, that it's not going to happen.
So I think of Tori like, you know, when you find a spider in your house and you decide to flush it down your toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm the only one that does this and doesn't put them outside, but it's like you put the spider in the toilet bowl and then you start to flush it and you see it try to crawl and crawl and yeah, it makes a little headway, but the bowl sucks it down. That's Tori. Tori is trying to make headway, trying to find things. But yeah, the truth is, like, I kind of feel bad for Tori because you have to work, play with the cards you're dealt. And these are the people she was dealt with.
Yeah.
This is the people she was dealt with. And it's, you know, she can't connect. She doesn't. None of them are actually connected.
You hit it. You hit the nail on the head. She can't connect. These people just don't jive. It just doesn't work.
Think I would jive with them too, in truth. I hate Rox Roy. Romeo would confuse me.
I like Romeo.
I would be afraid of. Tori, I would be terrified of. And Swathi, I don't know why I would talk to her about science. I don't know.
Yeah, it's...
They're not very likable, these
folks. They're not a very likable group. They honestly aren't. Okay, so let's leave their strategy there. Let's get to this challenge. Once again, our guy, Jonathan, just is going to show out. We've got two people having to pull the boat by swimming through the water. Jonathan pulls the boat, Marianne, the whole damn tide of the ocean into the lead here.
He found a sunken ship, too, that they've been searching for a
moment. He has found the Titanic. I mean, just... absolutely crushes this challenge, y'all. Marianne is literally being drugged by the damn boat drugged by Jonathan. Behind the people in the boat because he's swimming so damn fast.
You know, like when you see like a cart with like horses and there's like four horses and like they're taking the stagecoach down the road. Jonathan is the one horse that is running faster than the four horses going together.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, kills it.
The way Jonathan just pulls the boat and not just pulls the boat, he's quick through that water and he gets right to the next portion of the challenge because he's realized that if they're going to keep winning, it's going to be on him to keep winning. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to drag him through the thing.
Yes. But again, like yeah, I think he realizes that, but he loves it. He loves
it. He loves it. Oh, yeah.
He's helping his team win. Let's stay.
Correct. It's not... Correct. No, you're 100% correct. And he's an
athlete. He wants to win.
Yeah, and so he gets them there. They get the keys quick. Because you got to go through the challenge. You got to climb up this thing. You got to get the keys. You got to get back into the boat, then get to the platform and do a puzzle, right?
Yeah.
Basic survivor stuff.
once again, just boom, boom, boom. Taku flies through this beginning portion.
Well, not only that, the getting of the key is they had no issues just getting up there. They're all somehow perfectly synchronized. They are all working together.
Yes.
Like, and the other folks, problems, Lydia.
Lydia, yeah, so I mean, that's why Lydia probably should have went home. That's why she probably should have went home.
Yeah, Jenny was taller, just she probably would have been able to jump out and get that key. So that was y'all's fault.
How many times did Lydia jump and just hit that water?
Twice.
That was
they showed us 2 times.
Twice that they showed. And Chanel saved the day for them in there.
Absolutely. If it
wasn't for Chanel, like
Chanel keeps them in. If it wasn't for Chanel, they don't even finish because Lydia never ever would have gotten it. It was like Adam on Winners at War. You know, he was never able to grab the key and they ended up losing. And if Lydia didn't have someone else to sub out for her, they would have lost. But anyways, we all get to the puzzle. Eventually, Vati catches up to the other two tribes. By the time Vati gets there and starts working on it, Taku is damn near done with their puzzle.
Yep.
You know, they don't have any problems. Omer completely leads putting the puzzle together. They're just very calm, composed. And this is also like where I come back to Jonathan. He's, hey guys, you're doing a great job. And just... he's soothing to me. And, you know,
tell me about that.
I might be in love.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
Listen, like I said, your hubby.
So Sheldon, remember earlier when I said that, we're the strategists and Kylie is a sucker for a pretty face.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about.
Except I am a pretty face. So don't you dare. I have a question for you folks. Have we ever seen that puzzle before? I don't remember. We've seen something like that before?
Yes.
This season, I believe.
We saw it on Island of the Idols.
I love this puzzle.
With the fish hang. I thought we saw it earlier this season, too. Like, there was something hanging, and they had to put the like, rungs.
Yes.
And it was.
Well, I think we had the fish and that very first challenge where they had the big ass sled.
Yeah.
But I don't think they had to assemble the fish, but they did on Island of the Idols.
I always think about the sled and of Jonathan pulling the sled, and Jonathan pulling the boat, and Jonathan breaking up that fish, and Jonathan, Kylie's obsessed.
Anyway, so yes, we get the Iga trap is. Not following that far behind the Taku tribe at this point. They've got quite a bit of their puzzle assembled.
I mean, and Vati, I don't know who yelled it, but they yelled, the puzzle's the equalizer.
Daniel,
right.
Our boy Daniel from the bench. Hey, puzzle's the great equalizer. And so the Vati tribe gets there and they just start clicking and they are putting in piece after piece after piece. Lydia and Chanel are working on this puzzle. They're putting it together and they squeak out a victory. Squeak it out because it was coming down to the final pieces.
One of the things that is so clear to me, and I don't want to bring it up because I know Chanel, but I will. She is such a competitor that even though she screwed up last time, and she knows she screwed up, she knows that she's in danger. She knew she had no choice but to win. That's why you saw her fighting so hard when Lydia was screwing up. She needed to get those keys.
Like, give me those damn fins, girl.
She couldn't get it wrong. She needed, every time she jumped, she needed to get it. And when she got to that fish puzzle, she had no choice. It didn't matter how far behind they were. She was not stopping until she won because her ass was grass.
Listen, yes. Lydia is gold on Twitter, but she is trash.
Purple on the show. We're not getting Lydia.
Doesn't exist. And I find and when we do get her, I find her boring as hell. I'm sorry, Lydia, if you're listening to this. But like why are you there?
Well, I mean she obviously has the personality. She displays it on Twitter every day.
Yeah, she has one liner, she kills it. Like, she's hilarious on Twitter, and she was probably hilarious out there. But like, when she's not the forefront of the strategy, she's not she's not killing it in the challenges.
She's not really involved in the drama.
Right. So there's not really anything for her. There's no reason for her to be in this 44 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
It's just,
and she is the only person in this episode that does not have a confessional. Just a little factoid there.
Yeah.
So
And they're talking about her at the beginning of the episode. They're talking about her being there.
And nothing from her. But we see Vati pull it out. They are not going to back-to-back tribal councils. We get to see the very dysfunctional family that we all love, the Ika tribe, going back. And so let's go back to the Ika beach and let's start sorting this out.
Uh-oh.
How is Tori going to save her ass? Because, you know, we have a group chat. And in our group chat, people were like, Tori is going to pull this out. You know, she is going to weasel her way out of this. And other people are like, no, I think this is her time. We're not going to talk about the spoiler that's out there, but okay. but
what spoiler?
The spoiler we'll that Survivor themselves. We'll
you know what? Survivor did do it actually themselves. They show her finding the idol or something.
Yeah, they like
at the very beginning.
They showed Tori reading the Beware Advantage.
Yeah, remember that?
So Tori cannot be leaving if Tori has not found the Beware Advantage yet.
So they show that, and when they did the like montage for like the season or whatever, the trailer, like last night, the trailer, you see Tori reading the Beware Advantage. So there's no way she could be going home until she at least finds it. I thought she would have found it in the first episode with them showing it. But here we are, four episodes in. And she's still there.
She hadn't found it, and she's not going out. So why they have done this, I'm super confused, but whatever. We're just going to talk about the strategy here. And, you know, in our group chat, we had someone, we won't call his name out on air and embarrass him, but somebody, somebody says, for some reason, I think Swathi's in trouble. And somebody was like, you've got to be kidding me. Swathi is set up to go far into this game, which was great to, you know, make that person eat their words about 15 minutes later. but, you know, this is kind of out of left field, the demise of Swathi, because she did seem like she was in a great, great position.
How great was his editing? How great was his editing, right? So,
yeah.
So you get to the beach.
Go ahead.
You get to the beach, right? And you have Rox come out and say, Drea, get this. Tori told me that you have an advantage. Like, what? And Drea's like, she wasn't supposed to tell you that. And then Rox is like, she gotta go because you can't trust her. It's like,
what? Yeah, I mean, Rox Roy is like, this is easy. We don't like Tori. Tori is leaving.
Right.
And so Drea and Romeo are like, and so especially Romeo.
When Drea and Romeo go then talk, they're like, who can we trust here? How did we get here? How did we get to this point? Tori's over here talking to Rox. They don't like each other. She's telling the stuff. How do we get here? Tori's like, well, me and Swathi were trying to bring in somebody, trying to see what's going on. How? Romeo then goes, and this is editing was fantastic, to Drea. Swathi told me that I'm her number one, so why would she like betray me like this? And then you see then a clip of her literally saying, you're my number one in this game to Romeo. You're like, okay, cool. And then Drea's like, wait. She told me I was her number one. Cut to the clip of her telling Drea, I'm so glad I got to talk to you. You were my number one in this game. And they're like,
She's kind of playing both sides here. Let's go compare notes with Tori.
Yeah, Tori.
You're also my number one.
Tori's like, hold on.
She told me I was her number one. Cut the clip. Walking. I'm so happy you're here. You're my number one.
Oh, besties.
So does this make sense to anybody? Why was what? Was this just a mistake? Is this immaturity? Is this her
this
age?
This is immaturity. I mean, you know, you want to obviously make everybody feel great about you, but you don't use those exact words. You know, you say, hey, I think that we can be great alliance members. We're going to go so far together in this game.
Those are the words you say.
I cannot wait to go far in this game.
Those are the words you say.
I'm taking notes, folks. I'm taking notes.
But it's the truth, right? I mean, we've all played games. There's not too many people I'm telling you're my number one. There's a lot of people that I say, I think I feel good about us. I want to work with you. And that's true.
You want to work with me one day.
I want to go. We played a game together. Yeah. Neither one of us told each other we were each other's number one.
Because I was going to vote you out.
Correct. And I was trying to vote out who I thought was your number one. Yeah. Right. Like that. Like there was a very obvious. There's no time where I would have said those things to you because we weren't there. And for her to say that within 8 days to three and probably four different
probably
people.
Probably the rocks.
Yeah, we didn't see her save the rocks, but she probably did. Yeah. So that's not the way you connect.
And Tori seizes the moment and throws Swathi under the bus, runs her ass over, backs it up and runs over her again and just completely buries Swathi. And Swathi is picking up on the vibe of the tribe and is realizing something is shifting here and I don't like it. But
I don't know that like Tori had no choice to bury her, right? Because the idea the idea was initially to try to flip this on Drea, right? Rox is obviously not coming with you, and Romeo's obviously with Drea because you're watching them conspire. So the only thing you can do is try to save yourself. Someone has to go home tonight, and if you three are together, that only leaves me, whose name has been out there the whole time, or my number one.
Sorry. I mean, if it's you or me, it's got to be you.
I also think Tori is just, like, at this point, she has no choice. It's like there's no other option. If there are two people who want to vote Swati out, she goes. And you know, I'm sure we're about to get there, but you know, the question of the decision of why did they choose Swati over Tori? Well, to me, the choice of choosing to keep Tori makes a whole heck of a lot more sense than Swati, because they know that Tori and Roxori will never be able to work together. So if next time they do they're still in control. So from a strategic move, we were talking about not a lot of strategy. You know, Romeo and Drea, I think, made the right call there.
Yes, because we keep two people that aren't together and we decide, do we want to go forward in this game with Roxroy, who is very, you know, abrasive and rubs people the wrong way? Or do we want to go forward with Tori, who is conniving and has a big mouth? You know what I mean? We're going to have to weigh it out here.
Right before we get there, because we are like right up against it, like you said, Sheldon, the Swati on the beach immediately starts to scramble, right?
Yep.
But it's very obvious, because she's 19, that she is very obviously scrambling. She is telling them, I don't know what's going on. Tori is just like defaming me. No, we weren't going to. Drea, she was trying to blindside you. That was Tori's idea. Tori is not in a position to blindside anybody, right? Tori's at the bottom. So the words, she was trying to blindside you, don't make sense. All Tori's trying to do is just trying to be a squirrel to find a nut. That's it.
We now have like two seasons in a row where the 19-year-olds, the younger ones, you know, are very not self-aware. You know, even Xander, who goes all the way to the end. Like, should they be casting these people?
No. Jeff wants 60-year-olds, man. He wants 15 and 60-year-olds out here.
I think you can have a rare nut, Michael Yerker, is self-aware and a little
Yerker more wasn't good either. He was just pretty.
No, Michael Yerker was a lot more self-aware than the other ones were. I think that a lot of that comes from the fact that Michael Yerker had like been living on his own since he was 16 years old. Yeah. So, I mean, where Swathi is, you know, 10 weeks out of high school.
Will Wall, another bad one. Will Wall, another bad one. Right?
Terrible.
Like, these kids are not that you need more
life experience. Stop casting them. Yes.
You need more life experience.
You have to either cast a whole show of them, or you have to cast none of them, basically.
Well, the thing is, I thought the same way about Jackson being basically taken out after the first few days. Like, you're wasting an opportunity of somebody who might be really ready in 5 years to play the game.
Sure.
It seems like a bit of a waste.
Well, I think that there's, and Swathi seems obviously very intelligent, and I do think she is going to do great things in life, and she is somebody that 5 years from now I think probably could have done a lot better. JD, I think 5 years from now he fizzles the same way.
No. I think he calms down.
I think he's still Marianne when he comes back out there a second time, and he just can't rein it in. So I think JD is trouble no matter when you get him. But, you know, Swathi, I think, really, really could have done well later in life. But anyway, so let's get to this tribal council, because we have one of the most awkward moments possibly ever in a tribal council. And Jeff says, Drea, can you tell me what is the vibe of the tribe? Crickets. 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 I would say that the vibe of the tribe is very strange. And I was honestly like, is my TV frozen? I don't understand. But no, she was sitting there trying to formulate an answer for a good 10 or 15 seconds.
I kind of loved the fact that they gave her that moment and they put that pause in it. Because that's kind of the way I was feeling watching this episode and watching this tribe operate. Like, we've said it before, not cohesive, not likable. These aren't people that you would ever, ever, ever see at the bar sitting together. Not even after this game. They are not going, like this just doesn't work. And strange is absolutely the right word, especially with all of the shenanigans Swati was up to, all the shenanigans Tori was up to, all the shenanigans Roxbury was up to. And honestly, like Romeo and Drea are the saving grace of this tribe, but even them, I don't know.
Yeah, and so as Jeff is questioning them, at every turn, Swathi is just trying to throw Tori under the bus. I am not going to go home at the hands of a crappy player right here that's trying to sink my game and is trying to make me out to be the person that is causing all of this chaos. And I'm not going to do it. And I was like, okay, I kind of like the energy she's bringing. But then you see Tori put on a masterclass, because we saw it last week with High, and I think we see it again with Tori this week, where Tori just absolutely sinks Swathi at this tribal council and slams the lid on her game.
But isn't so in the game of season 42 Survivor, isn't the fear of doing that when the, what is it called, played?
Shot in the dark.
That the 1 in 6 chances is that Tori is going home? Isn't that a mistake in New Survivor to actually clearly telegraph who's going home?
Well, and I mean, that is a very interesting thing to bring up, because we've seen, three shot in the darks played already to this point, and we only saw one last season, and it was post-merge. Yeah. So is it that they've told them better about what the shot in the dark is? Are these people not as strategic? And that kind of goes back to our conversation at the beginning. No, are these people just not as strategic? And they're not, hiding what they're doing. And I think that that's exactly it, Kevin. Like,
there's just
these people just aren't on that same level that we saw last season.
Because Shan kept it from all of them. Shan was able to make all of, I think if we see a couple of those other tribes, we see more shot in the darks, right? I think if we see that blue tribe last season, I think if we saw, if it wasn't Shan's tribe going and everyone thinking that they were with Shan, I think we would have saw it happen more often.
Right. But yeah, I agree.
But if you're a Tory, though, you have no choice, right? Like, you know, it's either you or it's Swathi. It's either you or Swathi. That's the only two options tonight.
Yeah.
So you're going to do everything you can to make sure it's not you. And if the shot of dark works, what choice did you have?
So, and that also brings up an interesting thing. So we see Roxroy having Swathi's back the entire time, and he does speak up for her and says, this is a girl that told us from the beginning that she's reserved, she's kind of shy, and she is just definitely stepping out, and I am so proud of her. And we see Roxroy vote Tori. So do y'all think that Roxroy was left out of this decision to vote out Swathi? Or is he hedging the bets of if she were to play her shot in the dark,
just quit it right there. Just quit it right there. That was not, so Roxroy is not in any alliance. He's being told what to do by Romeo when he wants to let him know. That's literally it.
I wonder if there is a fear that Roxroy found something, because he has been building and searching, and like as he found wood, maybe he found an advantage in an idol, and maybe the fear was he would play it on Swathi. I assume that's why they decided not to tell him. But no, they did not tell him a single thing, because he's going to start making orders. No, we're not doing that. I'm voting out Tori. You're all going to vote out Tori. We're going to vote Tori. You're going to vote Tori because that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm the boss here, and you're going to vote Tori. You're going to vote Tori. Tori? 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 We're voting Tori. Let's build a shed now, and then we're going to vote Tori.
I don't even think it's that deep. I think they are like, we don't care what Rox Roy does. We just don't care what Rox does. It doesn't matter.
That opens up a glaring hole for Tori to sweep in and take Rox Roy.
But they can't get along. They just can't get along. Well, but Sheldon, and the worst part, though, is that they can't get along, and it's not due to Tori. It's due to who Rox is as a person.
But don't forget, she's the therapist. She deals with people that are from all different walks of life and different issues. And like, she probably has had somebody like a Rox Roy maybe in her practice at some point. So maybe she could figure it out. I don't know. She's been able to weasel. Maybe I don't say that negatively. I say that quite positively. She's going to have been the vote many a times now, and she's still there. So like, good on her. And she's about to find an advantage based on the spoilers Kevin shared.
Yes. Okay, now, next question.
Yes.
Do you draw a parallel between Tori and one Angelina Keeley from David versus Goliath? Is there any chance that we see Tori get to the end and be able to win?
I mean, we didn't see Angelina win.
Exactly. I think I can see Tori getting there, but do you think Tori has the capability to win this season of Survivor?
I think Tori can win this game.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Tori could win this game. Yeah. Like Tori, like we've discussed ad nauseum. This tribe is just dysfunctional.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If she can get to people that are more like her, like a Chanel, like a even to a like a high, she's a high level thinker, right? Mm-hmm. And so she just needs to get to these people that she jives with more. These people that right here, she just doesn't jive with.
It would be interesting if Chanel and Tori know each other.
Yeah,
there's that'll be interesting. Not a non-zero chance, so that will be interesting.
There's certainly a chance that that's the case.
Yeah,
I don't actually understand that comparison at all, Kylie, because I never thought of Angelina as an extremely strategic, thoughtful player, and I actually think Tori's got the chops. Yes. I think Tori is just in a horrible situation, and
she does. She gives me Angelina vibes, and so I want to see it play out. And
she's in a much better situation tonight. She's in a much better situation now.
Oh, yeah. No. She's in a great situation.
Because she's in a three now.
It'll be interesting to see how she's able to navigate. I see some parallels between them.
Are we getting a merge soon, folks?
I think we have another vote. At least one, maybe two, because that's what I was trying to think. So we have lost Zach, Jackson, Mariah, Jenny, and...
Now Swathi.
Swathi. So that's five. So did we lose six pre-merge or seven last season?
We're at 13 right now, so maybe another one or two.
All right. Well, anything else to add about this episode?
Rox is in trouble. Rox is definitely in trouble because these people, they left him out of this vote. And he isn't going to be doing anything to come back on this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, our boy Rox is in trouble, I imagine, if they were to go back to Tribal Council. But like I said, they basically, Romeo and Drea control everything here. And they get to decide which direction they're going to go. Are we going to go with Tori or are we going to go with Rox? Maybe they don't go back to Tribal Council. It'll be interesting.
I don't think there's any chance that they don't go with Tori because they have Tori in their pocket now. Because Tori can't work with Rox. Tori's going to vote with them because the options are going to be Tori is either you or it's Rox. And then Tori votes Rox and then they decide, and I'm sure they'll decide that they're tired of getting bossed around. I don't think we see Jonathan Strive go back to Tribal Council. When we had our preseason conversation, we thought this tribe was going to be bad, and I think we were right about the rest of the tribe. We just didn't realize that the man beast that Jonathan would be, right? Yeah. We just didn't realize that.
And I think Daniel's the one that's in trouble. Like, I think that if Vati goes, he's done.
Yeah, I think Chanel's fine. If Vati goes, it's Daniel. And if we do see Taku go, who do y'all think is at the bottom here? Are we seeing Marianne cut?
Yeah,
agreed.
I think it's Kevin's girlfriend, Marianne. Yeah.
Not- I agree, but I just don't. I don't think that Taku is going back.
I'm not quite Marianne's type. She's much more of a fan of the Zacks. So,
well, if I lose 200 pounds, I might fit in.
You might fit in there.
All right. Well, this was a fun episode. Once again, just not the best of strategy, but it's still entertaining. It's, you know, it's leftover pizza, as Kevin would say. So anyways, Sheldon, do you have anything to plug?
Oh, yeah. Well, for all of you Big Brother Canada fans, check out For the Fans tomorrow night, 8 p.m., when we are going to go over who won the veto. No, not who won veto. We've done that already. Yeah, who won veto and who goes home. And then the first ever double eviction that is based on what? Kylie, tell
chain me. Of chain of what?
Safety.
Chain of safety.
And it's done. I haven't seen what happened yet, but I can't wait to talk about it tomorrow night with Josh, with Kylie. Kylie, are you joining us? And with DeLucas. We'll be there tomorrow at 8 p.m. Check us out, For the Fans. Check out our pages. Download our podcast. We are getting some great viewers. We're doing good things. I feel like I'm Donald Trump with the best. Great things. That's it for me.
Kevin, what do you have going on?
Sheldon ate it all up and left no crumbs for me. So,
all right.
I ain't got nothing.
Well, we will
watch
be back
tomorrow.
Watch tomorrow. It will be very fun. And we will be back next Thursday to talk about the latest episode of Survivor 42. And we will see you guys next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye.